Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Prophetess, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, boy, I tell you, this is a rough thing. The other phone, the cell phone, is clicked on as a host, but I had to dial in from another phone. Oh, my goodness. How you doing, all right?
I'm good.
All right. Praise God. Wait a minute. Who am I speaking with?
This is Prophet Johnson.
Wow. Praise God. Well, hold me up in prayer because I need it, okay?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Hold on. This show's getting ready to start. God bless you. Thank you for tuning into the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Telecast. Let me tell you what just happened. We're going to get into this lesson, but this the phone, the normal phone that the Lord uses me to call in on, it just went blank. And so I'm looking at the screen, and I see that the phone is connected. But when I look at the phone wasn't connected. This is crazy. I called in from one of the other phones at the ministry, and it disconnected. It was just a whole bunch of mix-up, and the reason why is because the magnitude of what God is getting ready to do. I'd like to ask you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, and while you're doing that, as the Lord lead, I'm going to read the description of the show, and then we'll go forward in it. I can't believe this. Oh, my goodness. Satan, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. Please turn there right now, and I'm going to be in the King James Version. Okay? And here's the description of the show. The fivefold ministry, often misunderstood by everyone except Satan. He knows that where God sends the fivefold ministry, that it's not going to be a good day for him, the enemy of God. The apostle establishes people. The prophet and prophetess speaks over the ground. The evangelist gets the souls and convinces them to give their lives to Jesus Christ. The pastors watch over and tend the sheep. The teacher spoon feeds the word of God to those that are hungry. Now, when Jesus walked this earth, he operated in all five of those offices. Each office was a demonstration of his anointing. The book of Acts shows many adventures and exploits that God used the fivefold ministry to do. When you see a ministry that is in trouble, then God sends out his elite soldiers. If they let God move, then they will recover. But if they don't, then God will uproot that ministry. As long as you're working as the Lord has called you to, then the devil can't touch you. But if you quit, turn back, or give up, then you're fair game for demonic attack. The devil and his demons wait for someone from the fivefold ministry to abort their lifelong mission of fighting against his kingdom. God will never say April Fool when he calls you to serve in the fivefold. When he calls you, the gifts and the callings are without repentance. That's in Romans 11:29. And that means that they can never be withdrawn. This is a recap of what Satan doesn't want you to know about the fivefold ministry. This is part 8 and the finale of the teaching series of God's Avengers, the adventures of the fivefold ministry. And we're noticing Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 16. And again, I'm reading from the King James Version. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, ask you to forgive us for our sins, and we ask that you make this lesson powerful. We ask that you bless it to be simple yet deep, and that you bless it to be deep yet simple, in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm asking, Father, that right now you make me usable and use me and fill me with the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and give me a spiritual understanding of your word and feed your sheep. These are your people you have gathered from different parts of the world, O God. I'm asking you to let me decrease that you may increase. I need to decrease that you may increase, and you do the teaching. We love you, Father. And we ask that you help us to show you that. And thank you for choosing us, because you didn't have to, but you did. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for hearing us. We thank you for answering us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. This is very, very important to understand the fivefold ministry, to understand the mission that God has sent us out on. The thought God gave me for this lesson is called The Adventures of the Fivefold Ministry. The title is the recap of what Satan doesn't want you to know about the fivefold ministry. And again, this is part 8 and the finale of the teaching series of God's Avengers, The Adventures of the Fivefold Ministry, the recap. Satan is always intimidated by good ministry. His threefold ministry, the word ministry means service. Threefold ministry is mentioned in John chapter 10. And many people, they have the idea of what Jesus said, but they sort of misquote it. And it's important when you're a teacher of the word that when you're dealing with scripture, you dot every I and you cross every T. Where there's a comma in the scriptures, you pause. Where there's a period, you stop. Where there's a colon, you introduce. Where there's a semicolon, you include. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not, comma, but for to steal, comma, comma, and to destroy. Then he said, I am come that they might have life, comma, and that they might have it more abundantly, period. It is very important to understand that the devil has a threefold service: to steal and to kill and to destroy. By the time he finished, he don't want nothing left. He will steal your joy and kill your mission and destroy everything that God has started doing in you, if you let him. God has, when he came and walked this earth, and he accepted the challenge. See, at the beginning of time, he accepted the challenge from the enemy when the enemy challenged him to control of the universe. But the Bible says in Matthew 4, Jesus was led by the Holy Ghost into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He went in the wilderness and said, "It's on." And the enemy, in the English Bible, the King James and all of the English Bibles, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, tells us plainly, Scripture says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." Scripture says in verse 3, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.'" Glory to God. I hear the Lord moving. Listen. In the English, that's what he said. If thou be the Son of God, if you be the Son of God. But don't be tricked, brethren, because in the Greek text, it actually says, "Since you be, since you are the Son of God." Satan knows who Jesus is. He knew who Jesus was. He knew, because it was Jesus that gave the word for him to be cast out of heaven. Now, watch this. Because Satan knew and knows who Jesus is, and he's a defeated foe, he's very limited on how he can come against the work of the Lord. His aim is the Lord's people. And what the Lord has done is instituted a spiritual force, a spiritual special forces consisting of five offices, which five is the number of grace, that when these five offices are in correct operation, when dealing with a ministry, the devil has no win. None, not one drip. It is very important that every minister who God has in ministry pays attention to what the Holy Ghost is saying right now. In the ministry, the fivefold ministry should be operating, because then the ministry will be productive, the ministry will be effective, and the Lord will be able to add to the ministry daily that the ministry may grow. A lot of times the ministries are not growing because it is lopsided. It is operating on one gift. Anytime that in the ministry is only operating by the pastoral gift but neglecting the other four, then that ministry is bound to run into a brick wall. Anytime the ministry is only operating on the office of evangelist and neglecting the other four, there's going to be some trouble. It might be a whole lot of people in there because of the evangelistic calling, but still it's going to be trouble, because there needs to be a teacher in there. There needs to be a prophet and a prophetess in there, because as Brother Paul was used by God to say in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the brother spoke about the prophetic office. He said, "Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted." Then it says, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets." And what that's saying is, Sometimes the Lord will reveal something to the prophet and tell the prophet, don't say anything, but God is still revealing. Or sometimes God will reveal something to the prophet and he will allow you to not share what he's revealed. It is very important that every ministry has the fivefold ministry in operation and in harmony. Because, listen, whenever there's two apostles in a place, sometimes the enemy will cause a spirit of contention or a spirit of disagreement to break them up. And that's not season. Paul and Barnabas were both apostles. And there was a time when they went out, and Barnabas' cousin, John Mark, who wrote the book of Mark, he went out with them, and there was some trouble that happened, and John Mark ran. He left them. And so there was another time when Paul and Barnabas was getting ready to go do some work, and Barnabas said, let me bring Mark with us. And Paul said, no, the last time he left, no. And then what happened was Barnabas got upset, because this was his family, and he parted ways with Paul. And Scripture considered him backslidden for that moment, because Paul was being used by God effectively. And it is true that whenever there's a battle arising, you don't need to be teamed up with someone who is not able to fight. It is very difficult when you have someone in the ministry that's not able to fight. The enemy launches attacks against good ministry. It is ministry that is not effective, that has no impact against the kingdom of hell. Now, it's a few things to understand. The fivefold ministry is definitely needed. The apostle does not establish buildings. That is error. That is error, brethren. It is error, and it is an erroneous statement. The apostle does establish the church, yes, but the church is the body of Christ. Remember how we just read in Ephesians? It said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, 16, but actually 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. This is talking about unity in Christ. All the members of the body of Christ being in unity with Christ, with him being the head, and us being the body and fitting close together. And then it says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, meaning every part of the body doing what every part of the body was called to do. That makes the body effective. Then it says, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So the body will build itself up when everyone that's in the body is doing what God called them to do. The apostle establishes people. The prophet and the prophetess is used by God to, listen, here's what a prophet is. A prophet and a prophetess are those which go, well, especially a male prophet, goes to God as a priest on behalf of the people and goes back to the people as a prophet from God. The prophetess is used by God to also work with the prophet in the area of confirmation, in the area of agreement. In the prophetic office, they both have the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge in their tool belt. The evangelist is used by God to go out in the field and to rake in the souls. Whenever there's a ministry and there's not a lot of people in there, I suggest you allow God to use the evangelist. And he will send one if the ministry is lined up. It's important to notice that anytime there is an office needed in the ministry out of the fivefold, the Lord will send them. The pastor is to sit over the flock and babysit the sheep, watch them, take care of them, protect them. The shepherd carries the rod and the staff for a reason. The staff is to hit the bushes when the sheep is grazing, and that's to make sure no wolves are in the bushes. And the rod with the hook on it, that is to draw the sheep back when they start going astray. It is important that pastors be dedicated to going after sheep when they get lost and protecting them and feeding them while they're there. The teacher is the chef, is the one that stirs up the word, the one that spoon feeds the congregation. It is very important that there be teaching in the listen, it's time to stop allowing people to be in positions that God has not anointed them for. Listen, you don't have to go on the internet to get someone else's work and present it to the congregation. It's time to stop that. Because if the work didn't work for anyone else, it's not going to work for the congregation. People are starving. They want to know the truth. They want to get fed the truth. People need to know, how do I mend my marriage? How do I get my wife to come back home? How do I get my husband to come back home? How do I minister to my children? How do I bring my child out of that homosexual lifestyle and that new age way of coming to God? How do I do this? How? People need answers. Time of night, people need answers. Pastors need to be reachable. The fivefold ministry was put in the body by God in the name of Jesus Christ. This is Jesus' body, with Jesus being the head. He acted out every part of the fivefold ministry. And the fivefold ministry need to follow him. Those of you that are in the office of apostle, go into the scriptures and find out how God used the apostles. Find out which kind of apostle you are. Are you the apostle that's sent to those that are saved, or are you the kind of apostle that God has sent to the Gentiles, or those that are unsaved, those that are out in the field? And when you two do meet, you need to work together. The apostles in the building, that's establishing people in the building, stop looking down on the apostles that's not in the building. Listen, Paul was into street ministry. That's how God used him. He was sent to the Gentiles. He was. Scripture says that. It tells you that in, I believe it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, but he said that he was an apostle, that he was a teacher to the Gentiles. This is what Brother Paul said, because that's how God called him. That's how God used him. Oh, God, I can't find the scripture, but that's how God used him. He used him as a teacher to the Gentiles, a preacher to the Gentiles, and rested him in the office of apostle. He established the people in the faith. That's what he did. And it's important to understand what God has called you to do. It is very important. So that way you can effectively be used by God in ministry, and the ministry can be effective. 1 Timothy 2 and 7, Paul says, "Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, he said, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." Remember, there are three preaching gifts: the pastor, the prophet and prophetess, and the evangelist. There are two teaching gifts. That would be the apostle and the teacher. When God is using apostles out in the field, remember, brother apostles, you need to know what those other religions, other beliefs out there in the field are teaching, because God wants to use you to get people out of those false religions, and especially people that God has called, because some of God's children are leaving the body of Christ. They're leaving that Christian fold, and they're going out there and becoming members of other bodies that are not of Jesus Christ. And it's important to go out and get them. There's nowhere in the world that people should be at the ministry and leave, and the pastor don't even know that they're gone. The pastor don't even have no kind of inkling that the person is gone. It's God's divine plan that each ministry gift provide a check and balance to correct and help each other. The prophet is to inspire the teacher. How? Because the prophet is very dramatic, and the prophet speaks the rhema word of God. The teacher is the one that brings the logos. So listen to this. Again, the prophet and the prophetess, they speak the rhema word, thus saith the Lord. But the teacher is the one that's able to hear the rhema word and go into the logos, the written word, and pull it out. The teacher is to study the prophet, because sometimes the prophet go off. Sometimes the prophet get carried away and get so into the rhema word that, listen to this, catch this revelation. The prophet hears the voice of God, right? The prophet hears the rhema word, right? They hear the word through the spirit realm, right? Now watch this. A prophet will hear a word, hear a voice that said, tell them, thus saith the Lord, I'm going to bless them. And a prophet or the prophetess will repeat it. God said he's going to bless you. Tell them that I said that I'm getting ready to move in a mighty way in their life. God said he's getting ready to move in a mighty way in your life. And then the devil could disguise his voice and say, tell them that God said, I'm getting ready to bless you right now if you just give everything in your pocket. Give your rent money, give your light money, whatever you give, God will bless you a hundredfold. And the past, and the prophet or the prophetess will say that, and the people, you know, sheep are very dumb animals. The people will believe that. Why? Because of the emotional high, the emotional hype that seems to be going on. We have to be able to discern between anointing and emotion. Emotions sometimes make you roll all over the floor. Emotion will make you jump over a bench. Emotion will make you want to get out and shout and step like everybody else is doing. Emotion will stir you up. But anointing will set you free. Anointing will deliver you. The anointing is what draws you. The anointing is what destroys the yoke of bondage. The evangelist is to continually remind us of the lost and dying world and its need for the gospel. This country needs the gospel. There needs to be some serious evangelism going on. Evangelists need to evangelize. Stop sitting down in the ministry. Go out in the field. Listen, if you are an evangelist and you know it, the Lord will give you a burning desire to witness to that soul that you see out there lost, sitting or eating among the trash, or sitting down looking like they're not in their right mind, or that are sleeping on benches or out there in the street. Listen, God has put every gift in the body for a reason. He did it for a reason. For a reason. The pastor is to demonstrate to us that souls still need much nurturing and care after they have been won to the Lord. So an evangelist, check this out. The evangelist is to go out in the field, get a soul, convince them to give their life to Christ, pray over them, and when a person gives their life to Christ, then you drop them off at a ministry that God shows you that is definitely doing the work and where the pastor is going to be concerned about that soul. There were times in the past God would use me to go out and do evangelism and bring people and drop them off at ministries, and I've seen people hurt. I've seen people run out of ministries. I've seen people that God anointed to do a work, and the ministry is so click-ish that they don't allow no one to come in and put their hand in the work. And that's so wrong. It's wrong. The apostle, above all, is to inspire and lead the way for gaining ground by establishing new works for the Lord. We apostles are supposed to be in the background. All of this, I'm an apostle and I'm the chief and you do what I say, that's wrong. It's a lie. It's wrong. It is wrong. We are not, us apostles, we are not supposed to dominate the other gifts, nor are we supposed to dominate the sheep. You don't do that. You don't do that. The Lord Jesus Christ was the chief apostle, and he came, and look what he did. He took off his outer garment, put a towel around his waist, and he knelt, and he washed the feet of them. and said, right now you don't understand this, but later on you will. The Son of Man came to serve. Everyone in the body, the fivefold ministry, all the gifts are serving gifts. Listen, there's only one position in the body of Christ, and it's called slave. It's called prisoner. Because when God calls you, you serve. You do what God tells you to do. He did not get the gift and callings of God are without repentance. He did not give you a gift to take it from you. So some of you, yes, God called you into the prophetic office. You fell. You're back out in the world. You're just a backslidden prophet or a backslidden apostle or a backslidden evangelist or a backslidden prophetess. You're still called, but you done backslid. You're a backslidden pastor or a backslidden teacher. It's time that you get up and let God use you, because as long as you stay away from the mission, Satan has been, listen, if you've been doing anything for God against the kingdom of Satan, that dude been watching you. He's been waiting for you to slip. He's been throwing stuff at you so you would slip. He's been throwing fiery darts and everything. And since you allowed him and helped him to cause you to leave the mission, you in trouble. Some people leave the mission and then they get in trouble, and then they want to run back to God. They run back to God. Why? Because they know, oh, Lord, I need help now. But a little while ago, God was sending word to tell you, don't leave. You didn't listen. You didn't listen. It's time to stop ignoring God. It's time to give your life back to him if you're a fallen minister. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive us for our sins. Please bless your children, your ministers that have fell. Please, Lord, restore them. Dispense an angel to go out. Send heaven's hound out to draw them back unto you. No man can pluck them out of your hand. Father, in Jesus' name, reshape them, wash them, cleanse them, purge them, purify them, try them, prove them. Send them back out. Do a Jonah thing in them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we pray, amen. Those of you that are not saved, you need to give your life to the Lord. You need to, because life is short. Days are going by. Some of us are wise enough, praise God, to see that we're getting older and not younger. Last year we were 25, now we're 50. You understand? Because time goes by that fast. We don't want to leave this world and be lost, because this is a one-shot thing. There is no leaving this world and coming back and then trying it again. That reincarnation, that's garbage. That's garbage. If a person leaves this world and they're not saved, you can't say they're in a better place. They cannot live gangbanging or be homosexual or be murderers and all of this stuff. They cannot do anything that Galatians 5 talks about concerning the works of the flesh. They cannot do that and leave this world, because you see that they're not suffering here. You think that they're in a better place. They're not in a better place. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot get in the kingdom of God. It's not. Listen, bring the message back. It ain't never changed. Oh, it changed in the earth realm. It changed because everybody, pastors are chasing money now. So it changed in the earth realm. They're telling you that God is going to give you the mansion, the yacht, the house, the car, the husband, the wife, and everything else you want. And they're lying to you, because the blessings of God are with condition. With condition. You do what God tells you to do, and the Lord will bless you. You don't do what God tells you to do, the Lord is not going to bless you. That's all there is to it. Read Deuteronomy 28. Read the whole chapter. The first 14 verses tell you about blessings, but from 15 on into the 60s, it talks about curses. There's twice as many curses as there are blessings. I'm not going to tell you that when you give your life to the Lord, life becomes easy, because it don't. When you give your life to the Lord, life becomes harder than you've ever known it, because the enemy wants to challenge your faith. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. Thus saith the Lord, don't let him do it. God already knew you was going to slip, stumble, and fall when he called you. So those of you that said, well, I keep messing up, God knows that. Just go to him. Those of you that have gotten back into the world, come out of the world. Ask God, stand right where you are right now and say, Lord, I need to come out of this world. If you don't get me out, this is where I'm going to stay. Are you a loser? And watch God move. You got to know how to bargain with God. He said, come, let us reason together. That means let's talk this out. Let's talk this out. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. That means tell me why I should bless you. Present your case and tell me why I should bless you. And here's what we need to say. Because apart from you, I can do nothing. John 15:5. Use the word. Use it. Some people say, you got to work the word. No, that's manipulation. Use the word. Don't work it. You use it. The word already do the work when you apply it. Because the anointing is already on the word. You can call the ministry at 203-745-8162 for prayer. When this ends, this broadcast ends, you can call for prayer. 203-745-8162. If you're in bondage and you if you need help coming out of bondage, call the ministry and let God use me to pray with you after this broadcast. Call. It don't matter. If you call and if you get a voicemail, it's because God is using me to pray with somebody else. Call right back. Don't stop. Don't stop, because deliverance is needed. The Holy Ghost said he will deliver you. He does not lose a battle. It's just that a lot of times ministers are praying wrong. There's a way that you cast the devil out. You don't just say, Satan, I cast you out. He looks at that and laughs. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? They were itinerant Jews. What they did is they said, they saw a man that had a demon in him, and they said, we adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out. And that demon said, wait a minute, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And the Bible says that one man with those demons Edom in him beat the daylights out of those seven sons, and they ran down the street naked. Scripture says this. People are messing with demons and don't even know how to deal with them. You can't do that. There's a way. There's a biblical method. That's what the teacher is for, to be used by God to teach us. Oh, God, we need to get into Matthew chapter 12 and study what Jesus said. The unclean spirit leaves a man and travel over dry ground looking for rest. Why? Because demons cannot travel over water. Oh, that's another thing. We're going to get into that at another time. That's important to know. People are fighting an enemy that they don't know how to fight. You don't know your enemy, because the ministry that you go to are telling you, don't mention the devil name. God is good all the time. Yeah, we know that. That's elementary. We learned that when we were kids. What about now? We need to know, how do I get free? Come on, saints. The fivefold ministry was put in a body for that, for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting means maturing. Spiritual maturing of the saints. For the work of the ministry and the edifying, meaning the building up of the body of Christ. All right, the pastor told you the more you give, the more you'll be blessed. God will bless you. You gotta give. Give what you got, and God will bless you, and you're still going through. Pay your tithes and offerings and watch and see God move, and you're still going through. It's time to get into the Bible and find out what it says. It's time to get some resources and compare it so you can find out what it means. When the Bible says study to show thyself approved, Brother Paul told Brother Timothy this, and study means to go on a journey, a quest, an endeavor. Get into the word and labor in it. Get your pen, paper, another translation, your Strong's, your Wilmington's, or your Bible dictionary, and the Webster's, and dissect. Under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Before you touch it, ask him, Lord, lead me, teach me, minister to me, feed me, and he will. Listen, the Bible has the absolute truth. Don't always trust man, because man will tell you anything. There's a hidden agenda a lot of times in people, and there's people that are in ministry all because they think that it provides financial security. A lot of times good ministry does not produce financial security. It really doesn't, especially when you're out in the field. This ministry is out in the field and ministering to those that are lost and homeless and jobless and everything else, and they don't have anything to give. Can I turn them away? No. I got to receive them. I got to receive them, got to bring them food, got to feed them. What the Lord blessed the ministry with, got to go out instead of staying in the ministry. You know, the Lord lead me all the time to give the invitation. Open your hand. Don't close it. You hear that at the end of every broadcast, that on the ministry's link, right on my wall on Facebook, there is a link that says to the ministry's website, your donations and support of the ministry. People should be pouring into that. Why? Because the ministry is helping people. It's not for my pocket. It's helping people. People. Let the Lord use you. Let him use you. Open your hand. Don't close it. You want God to bless you, open your hand. All right. God has said, that was a double standard. That was contradictory. No, it wasn't. Because there is a spiritual law of giving, but it's not by command. You're not told, give a tenth of what you got or give your last bit. No, no. The Lord will bless you to give out of your increase. And if he tells you, he put it in your spirit to give out of what you have, then do that. Remember the widow, she gave two mites. It was in her spirit to. She wasn't commanded to. Not at all. First Corinthians chapter 16, God used Paul to say, on the first day of the week, let every man lay by him in store as God has prospered him. That means whatever the Lord put in your heart to share, you share. Don't be bewitched. Don't be tricked. Don't be manipulated. Don't be a prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T. Don't be prophet for ministries. Some of you are only being treated good in the ministry because you give a lot of finances. If your financial, so when you leave, what all some ministers see is your financial support gone. They don't see you gone. All they saw was a wallet or a pocketbook walking out the door. They didn't see nothing else. That's why they don't come and get you. But when you are given a lot of money, yeah, they'll call you, and they'll, in some kind of way, you know, you got to support the ministry. You know, they will get to that. Don't be someone else's prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T. Don't be. A lot of you, God have a ministry he want to use you over. There's a lot of people that God have destined to talk to you in your season. The recap of this lesson was on the 5-4 ministry, and Satan don't want you to know about it because some of you, he wants you to stay comfortable on the bench, and some of you are helping him. Get off that bench. There is no scripture that supports the bench ministry other than for preparation. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Set. Go. Get off the bench. And this is about the adventures of the fivefold ministry. The recap of what Satan doesn't want you to know about the fivefold ministry. He don't want you to know who you are. Some of you don't want to even be addressed by who God called you to be because you haven't heard it enough. You haven't heard it enough. God has called